regularly in this majlis with regards to this gathering. I remind you, brothers, and everybody who's in this gathering, who's taking part in this gathering, that if we don't put the objective in front of us, then the human being can not benefit, or benefits less, rather. Our maqsid, our objective of gathering, coming together, the real objective, the proper objective, our focal point, it is not dhikr. This is not the objective. Dhikr, a person does all the time, regularly. Our real objective of coming together is to do our tazkiyah, is to rectify ourselves, is to improve ourselves. And it's just like an ill person goes to a hospital and that ill person, the patient, the first condition of that patient will be that he will explain to the doctors in the hospital that these are the illnesses, or this is the illness I have, do consultation with the doctor. And then after the consultation, the doctor will prescribe some form of medicine, cure. In the same way, the gatherings of tazkiyah, in these gatherings of tazkiyah, we have the same situation. That in reality, we have come for the islah of our batin. And then after that, medicine is given, and the medicine is the dhikr of Allah. So first we come to do our islah. We have come with an objective. So in with this regard, we have a discussion. This is not a speech or a bayan or some ilmi points or a grammar or technical points. It's nothing of the sort, really. Rather, we discuss and share the experiences of our pious predecessors, their learnings, their teachings, and we look towards our illnesses, our deficiencies, that maybe I've got a deficiency in myself or in somebody else who's here or somebody else. So we then analyze ourselves. And then after that, we, with the dhikr of Allah, we clean our hearts, our batin, our soul, our self. Obviously, if we have illness, then the relationship of illness is that even a small illness is an illness, isn't it? If we look at physical illness, we call it an illness. Somebody has a problem. Yeah, even if it's a minor, we still call it an injury. You're ill. For example, I have a pain in my finger. It's a minor pain, but it's a pain. Nobody else knows how much is it pain. What's happened, brother? Oh, I've got pain in my finger. Pain in your finger? Now that person doesn't know how much it's throbbing or paining me. Everybody's busy in their own issues. And he thinks, oh, he's got pain in the finger and I've got the stomach pain. Stomach pain's more severe and feels more painful. But that person has an illness and this person has an illness. Different forms of illnesses or injuries. So in reality, no illness or problem is small, because nobody is comfortable when there's a problem surrounding them. If you have a pain in the foot, let's say there's a blister in the foot and it pains you, and then if your hand touches it, even if there's a small wound, and you pick that wound, a scab, and then it will give you pain, it will give you loss, and you'll feel a bit upset. Because the name of this is injury, or pain, or illness, or sick. So everything, whether it's a sickness or an illness or a pain or an injury, it will give discomfort. So if a person physically is in discomfort due to the issues, then what about those illnesses that directly result in Jahannam, or are linked directly with Jahannam? So let's change the subject. Yes? So those illnesses within that have a direct connection and link with hellfire, that have we ever felt the discomfort due to the internal disease or sickness? Yeah, so in the world, when we're physically sick or ill, we go to a doctor. So a person who is sick internally, directly will give a connection with that person to hellfire. That person is reached to hellfire. Yes, for example, if I say something and it's a verbal statement that is sinful, I'm sitting healthy and fine, but inside there's that darkness of sin, that I say something bad and I open up the door of Jahannam and I will go there. And the Quran says this whether I accept it or not. So this is reality. Is this a minor thing? Is this small? And how much fikr do we have for this? That when there's an illness, we'll run to the hospitals, general practitioners, medicines, pharmacies, chemists, drugs, antibiotics, etc. So a person, when he's going to die, you know, the worst case, if we can't get a cure for a sickness, will die, isn't it, eventually? But the spiritual sickness is that you don't stay successful in the world, dunya or akhirah. So there must be a hospital for the internal sicknesses, there must be a GP for the internal sickness, there must be a doctor for the spiritual sickness. We must have fikr for this as well, don't we? There must be discomfort for this, but we have layer upon layer of impurity gathering on our heart, our soul and nafs. And the Quran says that isme zahir wa batin, that both are forms of sickness. And the internal sickness, zahir, if we give it a bit of attention and get a cure, maybe it will be fixed and we get a bit of upset. For example, if one of my nostrils gets blocked in the night, I'll be unhappy. Oh, my nostril's blocked. I can't breathe easily. I'm tossing and turning. I couldn't sleep in the night. It was hard for me, etc. But the person who has a link straight away with what? That the spiritual internal sickness is linked directly with Jahannam, hellfire, what will be the result of that then? Let's think for a few moments. So is there an effect of this? There is an effect of the inner, the batini sickness. That when a person, he has to, there are the sins that we carry out during the day, which are linked to the batin. And mashallah, you are pious people, I'm a sinner. I don't know how many sins I must have performed during the day. For example, I've left home and I've sat in the car. And where am I going? Oh, I'm going to the majlis of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr. And when we start talking, speaking, oh, what about that person? What did he do? What did he say? Oh, and we are going to dhikr. And within 15 minutes, backbiting, lying, envy, hatred, jealousy, no limits to the sins that we have implemented. And earned the punishment. So all of the sins, they are linked to Jahannam. And if we are sinning, especially the batini sins, then we have reached into the midst of Jahannam, hellfire. We have no worry, no concern. We go to sleep, get up in the morning, same routine of life is carrying on the same way, astaghfirullah. And here, physically, if I'm sick, then you go to the doctor, then you go to the hospital, A&E. Oh, go and get some medicine. Oh, your nostrils blocked, go and phone, get an appointment, so it doesn't get worse. Yeah, everyone's saying, why didn't you go to the doctor? Yesterday I told you, now you're even worse. And this spiritual sickness, batini, no emphasis. If anybody speaks about it, only the awliya Allah call the people to recognize, become aware of your batini sickness. And we call them foolish or stupid or mad people, waste of time people. They don't have akal, they're sitting, wasting their time, speaking nonsense. Na'udhu billah. We don't have no need for batini reform. We don't need to clean our hearts or reform our soul or our nafs. No. We say this all day long. We have no need. But then what will happen in Jahannam? If my nostril gets blocked, I can't sleep all night long. So tell me, the person whose heart, soul, nafs, and he's sinning and it's linked to Jahannam, those actions, then how can he live a life of peace and feeling happy and content? The question doesn't arise. And the reason is that we have forgotten our objective. We hear complaints. I don't know why I'm feeling sort of, I've got everything. I've got money, I'm wealthy, but I just feel upset all the time. Mental sort of anxiety. I'll get depression. And you give mashallah to that person. How long has that been? Don't know, I can't sleep for some months now. I keep waking up in the night. I don't feel like eating. And I feel uneasy and sort of not happy. And just in my mind, I haven't got peace. And what should I say? Someone says to him, oh, you know, someone's done black magic on you. He set the jinns upon you. Nah, yaar, is that what's happened? No, you know your chachi, she came to your house. She didn't look right, did she? Yeah, she's cast a spell on you. Oh, shaitan plays his games then with that person. Shaitan plays games. So the advice came to him, consult. You know that man, he came and he cast a spell on you, magic. Oh, but I can give you some advice. There's a good man and he will help you. Does he take money? No, he doesn't take money. He'll see you, he'll diagnose your spiritual problem, jinns and ghosts. Yeah, Allah, for your kind information that the Quran has told us. That the jinn, they are a makhluk, they are a creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to discuss with this creation as well. And I know how they operate. It's not some big achievement. This is not a link with walayat or friendship of Allah that the wali of Allah knows about these things. Allah ta'ala has made this apparent, this knowledge. The jinn, they are a creation. They're not my friends, but I've spoken to them. I've researched on this point with them, with the jinnah, their lifestyle, etc. It's not some big issue. Achievement of sat, discussion, and dialogue. And they're scared. They are so scared and afraid of human beings that you cannot imagine. The jinnat. They say that the thing that we have within us, our qualities, attributes, we've never utilized them to scare people. Never. The jinn, they say, they're foolish, the human beings. That we are like mice in front of you. You have no power, no strength. Allah has given you strength. Allah has given you the Quran. No one can imagine the deen Allah Ta'ala has given to you. The jinn say that we aren't like normal people, that we pester people in the world. Oh, his jinn's overpowered him. He's possessed by a jinn. Okay, the jinn are there. They are a creation. Allah Ta'ala has created them. But when a person's got an issue, we say, oh, jinn's overpowered him. Jinn's possessed him. Go to the exorcist. Go to the exorcist. And the exorcist says, oh, 10 jinn have overwhelmed you. There are 2 behind you. There are 5 in your house. And they put the pins into your statue. And they're paining you and giving you pain. And the more the person's getting the cure from the jinn master, the more he's going mad. The more he's going mad. Astaghfirullah. Why? Because the diagnosis was wrong. And that person who's got a problem, he doesn't know that he's got a connection or she's got a connection with hellfire due to his or her sins, due to his or her bad actions, that the gunas, the sins that you are implementing, batini, spiritually internal, they have given you the connection with hellfire. If an external problem, a pain or an injury gives you discomfort, so the sins that are inside your heart and your body and your soul, and you've committed them over so many weeks and months and years, these are the things that are affecting you. There's no jinn affecting you. No possession of jinn. Yeah, maybe it happens from 1,000, from 1,000,000 people, one person gets possessed by jinn and it pesters him. Even to pious people, the jinn will pester. To good people. Yeah, and to even cowards and to pious people, they're like a shaitani type. You're sleeping, or for example, they might just brush your face, or you're sleeping and they'll just brush past you or nudge you. This is what they do. But this is not a possession of a jinn. For example, there's a child walking past you, you're walking on the road, and a child is there and he scratches your car. Yeah, a little bit of naughty actions, shaitani actions. But to make it a subject and an ilm, black magic and jinns, they overcome us, overpower us. The question doesn't arise. There's adverts, but they can't charge up. Sayyid Falana Professor, this man, he'll touch you, he'll cure you, he'll make you float in the air. You'll have no bad dreams anymore. And jinns will come out of you. Why? Because we've left the Quran. The greatest cure is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've left the sunnah. We haven't left the Quran, just the Quran. We've left the ruh of the Quran, which is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't eat like him. We don't dress like him. We don't have our appearance like him. Our libas isn't like him. Nothing in our life, in our methodology, is like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sunnah is the protection for human beings. But we don't have this. We don't have this. So what is the reality? Why is the problem, the distress, the cause, the problem inside us? We have no positivity. We feel down and out. Why? Because we don't follow the sunnah. And then the friends, they tell us, no, definitely you're possessed by a jinn. Why? Because you pray salah, you recite Quran in the morning. So why? How come the jinns come into my life? Yes, it's definitely a jinn. Because I pray, I worship. And so they give him more consultation and advice. Look, you're praying salah, you're praying, you're reading Quran. So why have you got problems and worries in your life? And he doesn't know, this person, that the salah that we're praying, the ibadah that we're doing, in which form, in which appearance, in which situation and state are we doing this, that we are sinning and sinning all the time, that within us all the sins have come into us. So what will be the effect of our sins? That heart which is full of darkness, is a black like coal with the sins, with darkness, with evil. Then how will the light of salah come into my heart? What will be the form of my salah? Like I said to you, a person on the way to the masjid, backbites, looks at a woman top to bottom, and then tell me one good action we do on the way to the masjid. Then we take the phone out, we go onto the screen and to different sites, and we do different sins. Allahu Akbar. We waste our time. And then we think, why am I not feeling good? Because of the sins that have attached and clung to our heart. There's so much dirt of the sin, blackness due to the sin that's inside our soul, our nafs, our hearts, that we are affected. I'll tell you something from yesterday. Yesterday we were discussing a topic like this, weren't we? Similar to it sometimes leaves my mind, that we were talking about the illnesses of the batin, of the soul. Was it about kibar? Yes, it was about kibar, pride, wasn't it? Kibar and tawaza, humility, being humble. So from within our gathering, from our own brothers who were present, and soon as we went into maraqabah, silent dhikr, and his condition became very, you can say, unique. How did he feel? He said, my heart opened up. And yesterday, maraqabah was short yesterday, wasn't it? I think just for a few minutes. And remember, maraqabah is never short. We think we have to do long hours on it. No. As soon as a person starts doing silent dhikr in the heart, sudden connection is made spiritual with Allah. Total. And 1 second of silent dhikr is equivalent to 10,000 years of verbal remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's name is so great, so powerful that we cannot imagine it. So great. Allahu Akbar. Such a great statement. Allahu Akbar. To say once Allah. If a person makes intention, Allah, I want to say Allah in my heart once, then he's detached from the dunya. He has made the strong connection with his Rabb. So this brother, the poor soul, in the night, he spent the night, it was difficult. Then he told me that I gave him congratulations. But he was upset, distressed, Hazrat. Sooner after the bayan, when we did dhikr and I started to do dhikr khafi, and my heart opened up, and the scorpions and the serpents and snakes were inside my heart. The sins were inside my heart. And just like we're sitting, we're bare in front of each other. And why did Allah Ta'ala show him this? Because Allah Ta'ala, he was a beloved servant of Allah. Allah liked him. Allah wanted to do his islah, rectify him. And his heart was hard like a rock. And he couldn't accept good things. It was his heart to accept our deficiencies. We're listening, but it's hard to accept that we've got dirt inside us. Oh, Mawlana Sahab just is speaking for nothing. I pray Salah. I'm worshipping. No, it's a jinn that's overcoming. Because I'm really good as a human being. It's some external force that's overcoming. So that woman was told, do tawbah, clean your heart. You've been given wazaif. Do that. No. First, take the jinn out, please, of my heart. Take the jinn out of inside me. Jinn comes and he hits me and he pests me. That's why I'm not a good woman. That we don't have yaqeen. That is due to our sins. We don't accept it's our own downfall and deficiencies. We blame external. How, if we eat haram, how can we be good? If we lie, how can we be good in our heart? If we consume interest, how can that sin not attach to my heart? But Allah's got a mercy upon mercy. That Allah that opened the heart of that person and it was shown that you have darkness inside. I said, Mubarak, congratulations. I said, he said, what? I said, yes, total congratulations. That you've been shown your situation. Now do the work. I give him wazaif. Now prepare, do the karma. Now you've got yaqeen that we are dirty, haven't you? So inside, and how much karma and mercy of Allah that he will be saved from Jahannam. Otherwise, that secret, when would it have been open and unraveled? When would that secret have been disclosed to him? The day of judgment, just like we've sealed in our pockets our sins, and our secrets would open up and thereafter. Doesn't matter if we hear every day dhikr, we this is not the gathering for, we, our prime objective is not for dhikr. We don't call for dhikr to sit down. The asal point is islah. If we don't consider ourselves as sick and well, if we don't make this niyyah that this dhikr is the cure, and we have to cure ourselves through this. So the medicine of dhikr is this. Look here, that mashallah, you take capsules, antibiotics, or medicines for a sickness, that take one. And we don't make niyyah. When we take the medicine, we don't make niyyah, do we? When we take the medicine, oh, that this is the niyyah Allah making, that I'm eating this capsule, Allah fix and cure my stomach pain, Allah Akbar, Bismillah, and I take the capsule. Do you ever make a niyyah? No, we just throw the capsule in the mouth, drink the water and gulp it down. No. So the niyyah has to be made. So here, with regards to the deen, Allah Ta'ala says, everything, if you make a connection with me and talk to me, then if you have the niyyah, the intention, then Allah says, I am with you according to your intention. That if all night long you're standing in nafal and you've not made the niyyah that I'm standing for Allah Ta'ala's sake, and you're standing all night long, then where will you get the benefit from? But if you bow to Allah and you make niyyah that Allah wants you to be pleased with me, then it will become like ibadah for 1,000 years. 1,000 years if you make the niyyah, correct? So if we make niyyah that Allah, I've got a deficiency with me, just like that brother thought, Allah Ta'ala opened his heart and he got the cure. So in Jahannam, what will happen to us? That we are sitting like animals. We think we are fine. We've got no sins. I'm guaranteed. And no one's doing dhikr with fikr. Nobody comes to this majlis with this fikr. Nobody meets his sheikh with this fikr. Nobody makes a sheikh with this fikr. Then how will we benefit? Tell me. How will we benefit? We have nothing within us that we are preparing for the hereafter. We haven't come with this niyyah. We haven't come with this niyyah that I've got illnesses, sicknesses in my heart. I'm going to my sheikh, my teacher. I want to cure myself, become a better human being so I can become better. So I say, brothers, I said that Allah Ta'ala will allow me to say some words and then we need to analyze our sins, that this will happen or this will happen to me. Everything is there. We have deficiencies. If we are not sick, then Allah Ta'ala wouldn't send us to this gathering, would he? Allah Ta'ala wouldn't send us. Then the angels would come, Jibreel alayhi salam would come, and Bayazid Bistami, and they'd be embracing us. Yes, Allah Ta'ala says, "Ana 'inda dhanna 'abdi bi," that if you have intention, then I will assist you. Is there any man or woman in this day and age who is saved from the sicknesses of the heart, of the batin, who hasn't stored the sicknesses within? As soon as we realize, what should we do? Make niyyah, intention. Intention that this tasbih that I'm holding, my shaykh gave me 12,000, I have to recite this much, or 1,200, I make niyyah before this, that this sin is in front of me, Allah, I want to eliminate this sin, Allah, I want to remove this sin from my life, and I request you, I have nothing else to my name that can assist me. It's dahir, it's apparent, obvious that I'm imprisoned by my nafs, and these sins have imprisoned me, and I can't come out of the situation of love of dunya, love of wealth. I really like to count the notes and the money, I like to lie, I enjoy it when I do fraud and and cheat people and lie to people, and I like to take their wealth. So how do we take out this enjoyment? Today I went to this gathering and I realized that there's punishment for the sins, and I can't take the sin out of my heart. I don't feel like I want to go towards the good deeds. And I like to look at women and listen to women. I get up and I look at the computer, switch on the computer in the night, and I look at evil and impure, immodest scenes and pictures. Allah, you know my heart, you know my sins, I can't get out of this situation. Then from the ghayb, the announcement comes, Allah says, take the tasbih and do my dhikr. Remember me, Allah, the Allah, I call out to you. Allah says, call to me and I will make you the human being, the good person. How can it be that Allah Ta'ala will not reform that person? How can it be? So whenever an insan goes, look at our qabirin, our salaf al-saliheen, look at their lives, never would you see that they thought they were guaranteed successful. When they went to their sheikh, to their teacher, they would go crying, trembling, shaking, my sheikh, my teacher, I'm destroyed. I'm a sinner, tell me a cure, tell me a solution. I can correct myself, reform myself, improve myself. So none of us can say, we say with guarantee that, oh, I'm a dhakir, I'm doing dhikr. This is not for dhikr, this gathering is for islah, islah. That person is very fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has chosen him, selected him, and sent him to such a place and sat him down in such a place where you have fikr and gham and worry, and he attaches to his heart that I've got a sin in my heart. I've got a sin, there's something lacking, and I've got problems, I've got deficiencies in my character, in the way that I live as a human being. Then he is told the cure straight away. He sits down and do this. And then we make niyyah, we need niyyah for this, intention for this. We need fikr and worry that, yeah, I've got these sins, I've got these drawbacks in my life, I'm not a good person, I'm not a good being. So the brother sat, he listened to the bayan, tears came in his eyes, the tears fell. He said, whatever Hazrat's saying, everything is inside me, I've got all these sicknesses with me, I can see this, I can experience this. And as soon as he did maraqabah, and Allah Ta'ala, his niyyah became correct, Allah Ta'ala showed him that inside your heart you have all of these deficiencies, my brother. Allah Ta'ala shown you. Allah shown you. And the person who sees with his eyes, and when he has an operation and he sees the operation being taking place, and he sees the sins, and the sins, they all take the form of animals in the grave, don't they? Scorpions, snakes and spiders and serpents, and they bite him. And we'll see this. We'll see this. And they come out into our, they take effect or not. When a person dies and is lowered into the grave, what happens? Then nothing goes with that person into the grave. Nothing. Does anything go with that person? No. But there's one important thing we need to realize. And what is that? That our amal will go with us. Our deeds. Whether they're good deeds or bad deeds. Remember this. That one sin we commit, it will attach itself to our heart, and they will gather, increase, and they will go with us into the grave. We'll get punishments, but we have a chance today. Allah, forgive me, I do tawbah, astaghfirullah, and do true tawbah in the hand of the shaykh. We haven't even done tawbah. It's not even finished. Allah says, all of your sins I have forgiven. What a great chance. And if we don't do this, then all of the sins we've implemented, they're stored, and then when we are lowered into the grave by the people of the dunya, you can decorate the grave as much as you want, put a carpet in there, a rug or lights. As soon as I'm lowered into the grave and the soil is thrown on top of me and everybody leaves, then the sins will become apparent in the physical form. Animals, azab, punishment, beating, severity. Ah, but if I had done tawbah before I died, then Allah Ta'ala would have freed me in the world. Allah says, you're pious, you're good, you would have been freed in the world. But shaitan, the devil, he deviates us, takes us towards darkness. That don't do tawbah. No. He doesn't let us do tawbah. He makes us maghroor and proud. No, I'm fine. I'm pious. I pray salah. I go on tabliq. I do chilla. And I tell people about the deen. I give nasiha to people. I'm the best. I'm the sheikh. I'm the alim. I'm muhaddith. And inside he knows he's a sinner, that he's the worst. He knows that. What is he? What is he, a sheikh? Is he a teacher? So it's important that when we are doing dhikr, there's an objective of doing dhikr. The objective of doing dhikr, we call out Allah, I've got this sin inside me, these sins inside me, to eliminate these sins, I'm doing your dhikr, because you've said yourself, Allah, that dhikr cleans the heart. I'm taking the assistance of your dhikr. Allah, please, through the medium of your dhikr, clean my heart from the sins. Allow me to become a better human being. Remember these points. And this is the sin. So let's take another sin. We see. Which is, you can say, the most wretched sin. The darkest of sins. Yeah? And it's such a sin that shaitan, he decorates that sin and he grabs us through that sin. That shaitan, you know, he pesters human beings and he brings us into his club. He traps us and makes us an exclusive member of his club so we commit more sins. So what's the effect? The first and foremost, shaitan traps us and overwhelms our minds. makes us think we're fine and it's not a sin. Now let's take this sin. If I name this sin, that I think I would say the question then has arisen that anyone from amongst us is saved from this sin. We are all immersed in this sin or implementing this sin. All of us. All of us. That somebody somehow, somewhere will have committed this sin. And how does Shaitan make us do this sin? First he makes us, he overtakes our mind. He overtakes our mindset and he controls us. He controls our brain. Then he takes us towards sin. Then like a, you know, you play with a child plays with a toy, then Shaitan plays with us because he's made us like his toy. He controls us and he makes us say such words, carry out such actions, implement such deeds. And then when we come into our senses, we say, oh, how did I do this? Then I cry and scream, how did I make this mistake, this blunder? Fighting, quarreling. I've seen a person, can you think that a man with his own hands kills another person? Why does he do this? Can you imagine that you'd kill someone, a person like me, I'm sitting and somebody's in front of me and I take a knife and I kill that person? How can it be? I'm stabbing him in the stomach and blood's coming up. How can a person even contemplate doing a sin like this? An action like this. And only that person can do this whose mind has been overtaken by wrong. Today we see murder in society. Why? Why is murder prevalent, common, widespread? How can a person kill somebody else? Go into families' houses. If you're not going to give me £10, a thief comes, a burglar, you're going to give me your money? No, and he stabs him. He kills him. Wipes away his life. Can you imagine this? Even your own real relative, your family, your wife, 25, 30, 40 years, you live together, you have children, and they're playing in front of you, and within a second, you kill your wife. A person kills his wife. Over what? Can you imagine this? Only a person can do this who's gone mad in his brain, or his brain has been overtaken by other thoughts, and Shaitan, the devil, overtakes that person. He eliminates friendships in the world and relationships. He makes brother and sister fight with each other, other relatives fight with each other, neighborhood, neighbors fight with each other, and he makes that person happy. Oh, I'm right. And do you know what sin it is? The root cause of all of those actions? What sin that is? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sahih Mishkat Hadith, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَإِذَا غَضَبَ أَحَدَكُمْ Subhanallah. The name of this sin, what is the name? غَضَب. Allahu Akbar. غَضَب, wrath. What is wrath? What is the meaning of this? Yes. وَإِذَا غَضَبَ أَحَدَكُمْ Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Sahih Mishkat Hadith. Agreed Hadith. Oh brothers, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that when you get angry, angry, what? When you get angry, you always be aware, beware. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you become angry, what is the name of this disease, sickness and sin? Ghadab. Ghadab. Ghadab is such a sin that a person becomes enraged, anger. He kills, hits, fights, quarrels, divorces his other people, and he gets to all of the sins. And jinn, do you think jinns do this? No, jinn doesn't do anything. Jinn cannot do nothing. Possession of jinn cannot do nothing. These are our internal illnesses, my friends, internal illnesses. We have to wipe them away. We have to clean them, wash them. Do tazkiyah. Tell me, who is saved from tazkiyah now? Tell me, who is not angry? Who doesn't get angry today? Tell me. Yes? Oh, open this door. Oh, why did you open the door? Oh, what's in here? What does he do? For example, first the shaitan, he grips you with a small little issue. Yeah, you're sitting down fine, at peace, and he'll make a little point, like you'll throw a spanner into the works, and he'll invite you towards argument. Argument is a dangerous thing. Don't do argumentation. No, this is not the case. First, he'll make a difference of opinion. No, no, you didn't understand. No, I understood. But why did you do this? Don't you know this is better? No, brother, I'm telling you, this is the way. And then you start the inna shaitana yanza bainahum. Allah Ta'ala says that he overtakes you. Do you think divorces take place automatically for no reason? Today, interview partners who have divorced, husband and wife. Interview those people who are in jail today who murdered someone else. No murderer will say who's in the jail today that I'm happy with what I did. No, you ask them, they say, I don't know why I did this. I can't understand what overcame me. What again? After a divorce takes place, no man will say, I did the right thing that I divorced my wife. No, I shouldn't have given divorce, he'll say. I did wrong. But when he's enraged, and after being angry and he's cool, and he leaves that scene of the crime, the sin, he says, how did I do this? Ins, uns, uns. Human being is uns. He has been made by uns, by love, the reflection of love. And naturally, we have the strength of love within us. So we feel regret when we do something wrong afterwards. Allah Ta'ala has explained that this is that sickness inside us that we don't even think about. We don't think about it. That we're praying salah, And then somebody, for example, elbows me. Why did you elbow me? I've seen various times people arguing in the masjid. Why did you elbow me? Why did you touch me? I was praying. Why don't you sit with ease, brother? Why are you getting angry? Maybe just bumped into you by mistake. Where has that person come from? The house of Allah. What's the reason? Dirt inside. Impurity inside. Have you ever seen a wali of Allah? He is overwhelmed by his own sins and his own negative drawbacks. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Never does he look at others and criticize them and fight with them, because inside he's clean. I've got nothing inside. No problem with anyone else. No envy, no hatred, no problems, no issues. So is this not important? Is it not important for us to do to cure our batin? Is it not important? Is it not necessary nowadays to go to a sheikh? Is this an option to have a teacher, a sheikh? Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah said it is fard ain, fard on every individual. It is wajib, compulsory for everyone to do islah via the company and instructions and advice of a sheikh, of a wali of Allah, of a true sheikh. I'm saying it's important, just like praying, salah, hajj, zakah. These are fard actions, and doing islah, tasawwuf, rectification is fard ain. Take the hand of a sheikh and learn. Every day we have to work hard, take the advices of the teacher, the nasiha, and rectify ourselves, because we have to die one day and go to Allah. And which face will we show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The face of sin. How can a person be saved from anger? Now we're talking about anger, aren't we? Our salwa salim, the sahaba akram, did they get anger? Did they demonstrate anger? Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh radiyallahu anhu, great personality. When he was made shaheed, when he was killed, then he was praying at that time. And 11 strikes, two on the neck. And other wounds on his body, and he was prostrating, and then he couldn't prostrate the second time. He was wounded by the attack of that person who wanted to kill him. He lay down, and blood was flowing from his body. And he said, "Please put me to the side." He said to the Sahaba, he said, "Carry on with the salah." And then after that, he said, "This man who attacked me with a knife, don't say anything to him. Don't take revenge on him. This is between me and him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say anything to him. Otherwise the Sahaba would have killed him." He was Amirul Mu'mineen at that time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and he had 11 sons at that time. Not one, 11 sons. They could have taken revenge. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Don't say anything to him." Everyone raised their hands to strike back. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was not angry. Imagine, think about it. Let's go further. To the next stage, he was about to pass away. Sometime after that, very soon after that, he was lying down, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu called his son and said, "Where is Zainab?" Hazrat Ali used to love Zainab immensely. She was his daughter. Why did he love her more and immensely? At that time, he said that, you know, when you remember your mother, then look at the face of your sister, because her face is very similar to her mother's, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Ali said that, "Call Zainab, where is she?" And imagine how much haya and modesty she had, that she never came in front of her father showing her face. She didn't remove the veil from her face in front of her father. Imagine what a blessed and pure woman she was, with haya and modesty. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, "I want to see the face of my daughter today. Bring her to me." She came, she showed her face, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that, "I have a request, subhanAllah. That I can't remember the day, how many days he was wounded. He couldn't eat, he couldn't drink. Whatever he would eat, he would vomit from his mouth." And then he said to his daughter, he said that, "Bring a glass of sherbet, like juice, for me. Drink, and I want to, made from your own hands." And then Hazrat Zainab went, and she went and made, she brought the sherbet, the drink, she presented it to her father. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that, "Do this, that I cannot drink this. So that man who struck me, who wanted to murder me, go and give him the drink. He must be thirsty and hungry from some days. Give him to drink." Aha, is this not greatness of humanity? What a great man. When a person's heart is clean and pure, then these qualities come out from within. Are these qualities within me and you? That's why, because we don't make an effort. We don't reform our heart. It's not that we cannot reach to this station, this standard, these heights. This is very, a human being is a very great thing indeed. Every human being is great. And if these veils we remove, if we remove the veils of darkness, then Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat will come suddenly onto our heart. The heart will absorb Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that every second a mu'min, a believer, can benefit from Allah Ta'ala's mercy and blessings into the heart. And what that person will become. So my brothers, now we need to see anger and its effect. Anger is a bad thing. Anger. And on every point we become angry. Small things we become angry. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us the dangers of anger and how to control it. Anybody who controls his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open his heart and will instill into his heart iman and yaqeen and certainty, and Allah will fill his heart with iman and certainty and yaqeen. Yes, and one point that a person who controls his heart and gets nearer to Allah, Allah says, I will fill your heart with iman, with peace, contentment, with yaqeen, with certainty. And then what else is left for that person to become a great individual? Tell me. Is there anything left? Does he need anything more? So shouldn't we try to cure our hearts? We should cure our hearts. Shouldn't we give tawajjuh and focus to us? Is there anyone who says that I don't have anger? Is there anyone who can claim not to have anger? That we get so angry so quickly, and anger, I say regularly, that we get angry on those who are weaker than us, we think. We have control over the wife or the children, we get angry with them. Have you ever become angry with your boss, your employer? You will have anger in your heart, but you won't make it apparent. You won't demonstrate it physically because he's more powerful than you, on higher level than you. Oh, I asked you for water. Why did you give me hot water? Why did you put less salt in the food? And there's anger on the tip of, you know, some people say that when father comes and when dad comes, it's like the inspectors come in for the inquiry. Inspectors come, policemen come. When we speak to him, he's angry and he ridicules us or he scolds us. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said from this hadith, I'm telling you, same hadith, that a person should control his anger so much that when you're even giving somebody tabligh, propagation of Islam, advising someone, then don't be angry at that time. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah. What a great statement. What a great statement. That at that time when you're explaining something to someone, your son or your wife or your sister or your brother or your friend, when you're explaining to them, at that time when you're explaining, what should you not be? You shouldn't be angry at that time. You shouldn't be cold at that. You should have pain and fikr and worry and concern for that person. Now, we don't have concern and worry and distress. We're angry. Why do you do this? Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why did you do this action? Allah's Nabi said, don't do that. Don't. You're giving dawah to shaitan at that time. What you teaching, you're giving dawah to shaitan. When you see someone doing a wrong action at home, outside, and you're explaining deen to that person, then even then you need to control yourself. You need to withstand and have control. That don't be, even if you're angry or even if you don't have anger, that person shouldn't feel that he may feel that you're unhappy, but you shouldn't make that person feel that you're angry with that person. You should make that person feel that I want to save you from the hellfire. And how much brilliant effect there will be in this tabligh. You won't be wasting your time, and it will affect your children and your wife. And today, that there's no effect. Today, first we hit, we slap. Why didn't you pray salah? Why didn't you go to pray salah? And he'll say in his heart, I'll never go to pray salah. I'll never go to pray salah. Does this happen or not? Tell me. Tell me. Child comes. Oh, slap. Why didn't you read Quran today? You say, now you try and make me pray. Okay? So that's, you can't tell him nothing, can you? Then you'll say, okay, make me pray, read the Quran. I'm not praying. I'm not going to recite the Quran. Try. Why did you do this action today? Oh, slap from the right to the left. Why did you slap me? Because you did this action. That you're trying to show your power. And you're overpowering the child because I've got control. Is this the situation? No, never should it be like this. First, tell the child or the person that, look, you've done something wrong, and control yourself at that time. That with this person, he is my client. He is not my son, he is my client. And through the actions of this person, I want to earn my akhirah. If through my words and my tabligh, this person is reformed, then I will earn Jannah, paradise. And not, this is my son, I'm his father, I'm going to hit him, I am his mother, I'm going to hit him and pain him, he's dishonoring me. Never, never. And never will the child be improved. All life long, the child will remember these points, that I am going to become opposite to what my father wants me to become. And then he says, you know, my father, why he wants me to do these actions? Because he doesn't want to be dishonored in society. Look at the nafsiyat, the thinking internally, the children. He's stopping me from bad actions, my father, because he's not worried about me doing bad. I've seen him doing many wrong things all day long. He's a thief, he's a fraudster, he eats other people's money. I've seen that he's telling me that this reason, because I'm going to represent him in society, so he's telling me to leave the sins for his respect and honor in society. He's telling me to stop these sins, not for the sake of Allah's fear. If he feared Allah, then he would have put the hadith of Mishkat in front of him, and he would have done the same with Allah. He's my client, my son, I'm giving him tabligh, and due to him I want to earn Jannah. Allah, I want to save him from the fire. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And that's it. The direction changes. Why? Because what have we done? What have we done? We have controlled our anger at that time. Anger. So Allah Ta'ala's Nabi has said, what should we do? Anger, we need to think about our anger. Every human being today, what niyyah do we make today? We all make the intention, don't we? Yes, inshallah, we have to think about this. That don't become angry. Whenever anger comes, consider, understand, shaitan's playing with me, and eventually he's going to put an injection into my head, and then I'm going to be overwhelmed by shaitan. And whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to carry out, and I won't stop my hands and my feet. He's going to control me, and I'm going to get angry, and I'm going to do destructive actions. Never. Your friends, your brother, any place in a gathering, in a majlis, always control yourself, your mind, your hands, that let me not become angry, because I've read this hadith. I need to control my anger. I need to control myself. That's what I need to do. Yeah? So this is how we need to think, my brothers. And then the cure, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave the cure in parallel. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do I stop anger? Very beautiful method to cure ourselves. Very easy, straightforward, and very simple solution to anger. Not that it's hard, and it's such a severe anger. There's a big cure that we have to spend days and weeks. For example, for illnesses, we have to inject ourselves 10 times or 12 times and bring injections and needles. We go to the hospital, and then they put the needle, the drip into our hand, or we have to take the liquid out or inject him with the glucose, etc. And they don't do anything, but they just inject us straight away. So, what a big sickness, what a big sickness of anger. But Allah's Nabi has told us a simple solution, very simple solution, that when you become angry, when you start to become angry, وَإِذَا غَضَبَ أَحْدَكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَفْ. The first thing we do, the first cure, very simple, what should we do? Just go silent straight away. SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah straight away. SubhanAllah. The Prophet said, when you think, you see, you feel you're getting angry, go quiet, stay quiet, remain quiet. Zip it. I swear by Allah, it is guaranteed within 5 minutes that problem will be solved straight away. And you can experience this. You can experience this. Totally, you'll be sat cool, and you will totally release all the gas and the pressure of the anger, and you'll be at calm, at ease. When you see that the anger is coming, then fill your stuff. Totally cool yourself and go silent. Totally silent. And this we need to practice. And secondly, what is the second thing? SubhanAllah. Like the Quran has told us, that as soon as you're angry, and those people of understanding, what do? They straight away turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they start to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do dhikr of Allah. This is the cure. Straightforward. The dhikr everywhere will be beneficial to us. And those people have learned the dhikr, and they have a situation, silence and dhikr in the heart. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And other people don't know, if you suddenly feel you're getting angry, it's overwhelming you, overtaking you, again angry, my child is making me angry, my wife, and this person is making angry, and they're saying things against me, they're doing this and this and that. Two things, silence, and after that, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. In the heart, Allah, 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 Allah. In the heart, nobody will realize, in the heart. 5 minutes that will take, and you will solve the problem. If you don't do this, then how far the problem will go, and then you cannot come back from that. Let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala gives us all the cure for this spiritual disease. Allah Ta'ala allows us to purify our soul, our heart. Now we'll take the enjoyment of dhikr. Now we'll do dhikr. Praise be to Allah. So that we, with the effect of dhikr, the sicknesses in our heart, they start to shake, and they dissolve and they disappear. That dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr for this reason, to clean our heart. That's the agent that will clean our heart. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that in your body there's a piece of flesh. There's a piece of flesh. And if this is correct, then the whole body is correct. And this is what we're doing, to reform the heart. If the heart is spoiled, then the whole body is spoiled. The character is spoiled. Allah, how do we improve the heart? Do dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you one cure to clean the heart. Kullu shayin sakinatun. Allah Ta'ala says, everything has a cleaning agent. And the qalb, the heart, the cleaning agent is the dhikr of Allah. Everything has a cleaning agent. Allah Ta'ala has made a cleaning agent for everything in the world. And for the heart, Allah Ta'ala has given the cleaning agent of His dhikr, His remembrance. So now we've understood that we have the sicknesses, the illnesses of the heart, which will come with us. Summarize the subject. We are starting dhikr. Let me test you. What are we doing? What are we to do before we do dhikr? Have you forgotten? Aha, well done. That you analyze and identify each and every one you've sinned. I have this sin, this sin, this sin. What do we have to do? Pay attention to Allah. Allah, I have this sin within me, and I'm so grateful to your Fadl, your Karam, that you have sent me here today. You've delivered me to this gathering. Your mercy, your blessings, you've sent me here. I've got these sins within me, my heart, in my life, that yesterday Hazrat told me, and definitely a brother saw it with his eyes, the darkness in his heart. So these sins are within me, and these sins are pestering me. They don't let me sleep or sit down with ease. Allah, you've given me the cure of dhikr. Now I'm going to start doing a dhikr. Allah, remove these sins from me, please, Allah. So do we make this knee, all of us? Ameen. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all of us. Ameen.